morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone.
Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here, sitting across from me, our longtime co-host.
Longtime Sleepy Mike is over here.
Sleepy Mike just arrived for the show. Mike. I think he's done hours of research.
Hours of research.
And we have Klaus von Stutterheim is on the telephone. Klaus, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure everybody here. Today we have, sometimes we do very broad shows. Today is a specialized show about the Sedona Emergency Room. When I drove Jeep tours, people used to ask me, people were thinking of moving to Sedona, they used to ask me if there was a hospital here, because that was important, particularly to older people. Yeah. And I always said, no, but we have a really good emergency room out on the end of town. And if we happened to go by it, of course, I'd show it to them. We have a special guest today. It's, one of the most longtime physicians in Sedona, Dr. Neil Singer. Welcome to the show, Doctor.
Good morning. Thank you.
You've been here and practicing for, 30-plus years?
No. Probably 24 years. I came in 1996. But previously, I'd been practicing 16 years, so I've been a doctor 42 years total.
And you've been practicing all those years in Sedona, so you know the community well. You know the emergency room well. I know of a case where a friend was in the emergency room, and you came in with one of your patients. You actually accompanied the patient to the emergency room.
Well, I do that fairly often, so there's more than one. But, it's a service that I provide. My office used to be in the medical center, so it was easy to accompany patients to the ER. And I think I can help facilitate care by doing that.
I'm sure that would facilitate it. I can't think of any negative aspect. So the rumors, folks, is that they're either decommissioning or reducing the Sedona Medical Center. They're cutting back services. They're going to change it from emergency care to immediate care, or they're going to move it to the village of Oak Creek. We really don't know. And the hospital, I have to say that the president has really been unforthcoming. So, Doctor, when we say you're going to get rid of the emergency room, if you're not going to get rid of the emergency, not planning to do it, you say, we're not planning to get rid of the emergency room. If you are, you say something like what the hospital has said, which is, we're not going to abandon Sedona. This is a non-denial in the news business.
Right. My issue is that the one communication from Flo Spiro was very obtuse.
Unreadable, almost.
It was impossible. I read it many times, and I'm very knowledgeable, and it was still very hard to understand what her plans were. It was clear that they were reevaluating the value of the emergency room and that they were patting themselves on the back for certain services that they did bring to Sedona, but it really wasn't clear, and she hasn't made herself available for questions.
And on the website, the Sedona Emergency Room is in the top 90% of emergency rooms in the country or something in terms of its evaluation. So it's way up.
It's probably
there.
Higher than that as far as customer service.
Who's evaluating?
Patients.
So when I've been to the emergency room, and for myself one time in all these years, the service is very, very quickly. Of course, I came from New York, where going to an emergency room was, an ordeal wherever you went. But this is it's much faster and much more efficient, it seems to me, than the Verde Valley Hospital in my limited experience. Why does the hospital want to get rid of the emergency room? What's their motivation?
Well, again, this is, I don't have insight into the mind of the NEH board, but from the one communication from Flo Spiro, it seems like they're reevaluating the financial aspects of the emergency room. They're spending a lot of money on some new services in Sedona. They probably lost a lot of money from the COVID-19, and they're once again looking at whether the ER is worth it, whether the life saved and the convenience to Sedona and to the tourists is worth the money that it costs them.
What's the difference between our current emergency room and a downgraded emergency room?
Well, there's not a downgraded emergency room. There is an immediate care. So the closest thing we have is something in Camp Verde. And Flo Spiro said that if they do away with the emergency room, they'll do something similar to Camp Verde. The problem in Camp Verde is it's staffed by a nurse practitioner, not a board-certified doctor. The nurses there are medical assistants, not nurse practitioners. They can't give intravenous fluids. Wow. They can't deal with complicated fractures. They don't have radiology there 24 hours a day that could be done. And it's just a glorified doctor's office.
Understand, folks, that the Sedona emergency room is staffed by doctors on 12-hour shifts, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there's the doctor in-house, plus highly trained nurses who specialize in emergency care and other staff. They have CAT scans. They have a bunch of equipment. So there is, doctor, then a big difference between an immediate care. Because I think this is people don't understand. There's a big difference between immediate care and an emergency room.
Well, correct. And one thing I didn't mention also is the immediate care hours wouldn't be 24 hours a day. I think Camp Verde closes at 6:30 or 8:30. So there would be at least 10 hours overnight when a lot of emergencies occur where there wouldn't be someone there.
So that's what Sedona is facing. I personally, the people I know have had great experiences in the emergency. A friend of mine never had kidney stones before. The first time he had one, his doctor couldn't find it, didn't see it, didn't think he had it. So he went to the emergency room, and they found it right away. So I what I'm hearing since I've been in Sedona is all these very, very positive feedbacks about the emergency room. And I think it makes the people in Sedona feel very secure. Our population, the average is like, say, 58 years old. But when you average a 0 year, a 1 month old with a nine, the actual mean, if we saw the mean rather than the average, would be in 60s, I think, or even high 60s, mid 60s. So Sedona is filled with 5,000 older people.
It's no secret that people move to Sedona because of the hospital care. I mean, the first question, or at least one of the first questions a lot of people ask, after the Red Rocks and after the trails and after everything else, or maybe somewhere in the middle of those, is what about the health care? And knowing that there was a fully staffed, I assume, trauma-trained, board-certified doctor there made a difference in for a lot of people, that they could be fixed up and sent somewhere, which I believe was always the intent, and anything that couldn't be handled here, we have somebody that can identify it, whatever word you want to use, stabilize you, and go somewhere where you can get fixed.
Certainly people ask me, Mike, when I'm driving a Jeep, and people who are thinking about moving to Sedona ask me if there's a hospital here. Yeah. And I actually personally reassured, it was one of the commonest questions of people who were planning or thinking about moving to Sedona. We had a lot of Canadians buying property here, for example.
Right. And that was an issue with me 24 years ago. I moved here with a 6-month-old and a 2-year-old. The 2-year-old had asthma. So I would not have moved here had there not been an emergency room open 24 hours a day to deal with my son if he had an asthma attack. I right. wouldn't be sitting here today.
I know. But I guess the question, and I know that you're a physician and not an economic advisor, is the question of the expense of the emergency room in Sedona, and whether what would they use the facilities for? Do you know if they didn't have emergency room?
Well, I think Sedona Medical Center is a very special place. It's a beautiful building. It's been beautiful for 25 years.
Very true.
And I think the plan is they would like to expand the breast cancer center once they try to downgrade the emergency room and take some space from them. So the issue is there's a finite amount of grade A medical space in Sedona. Sedona Medical Center is the place to do it. So they have a lot of plans. I mean, they have plans to expand the breast care center, and they need the room to do it.
Staff have told me that there are whole rooms in the center that are unoccupied now, whole areas.
Well, there are because there was an excellent medical oncologist, Debbie Lindquist, who was here for 20 years, who left about 2 years ago because NIH couldn't convince her to stay. So her entire area is not being used.
Okay, that's what they're referring to when they talked to me about. They also said that they've told me that Northern Arizona Healthcare is no longer sending emergency physicians down from Flagstaff. They've been cutting that back and asking the physicians here to work more time.
And this is the first I really heard of that. So I don't know what potential reason they would do that unless they're planning that the flag physicians, there won't be an ER here. So they're letting them know now, don't get used to coming down here and using this for your
Let's talk about reasons. We're talking to Dr. Neil Singer, and we're talking about the Sedona Medical Center and possible plans for less emergency services. Ripple on down the line here. When it comes to medical services, there's layers. I don't want to say there's wheels within wheels, but there certainly are layers that if you have a nurse practitioner, or do you have a board certified physician? Do you have radiological services? Do you have CT service? You know, all of the things that go into diagnosis and care these days. Is a long conversation. Dr. Singer, what I want to ask is, if I was talking to the president of Northern Arizona Healthcare, what would their why be? If I said, well, why are you doing this? I mean, is this money? What you're doing cheaper? You don't have to hire a board certified doctor. You hire a nurse practitioner. Well, I guess that's cheaper, huh? If they said, well, that's not the reason, what would they say?
Again, it's hard for me to tell what they would say. I would imagine it's money and space.
Money and space.
Do you think that they want the space as well as
I'm sure they want the space for something other than emergency
and
care.
They want if it pays more. Emergency care is more or less a service to the community.
It's a service, and it's probably a money-losing service.
Exactly.
But it's a loss leader. I mean, every hospital provides services where they lose money. That's part of being a hospital.
Well, we thought so. Yes, sir. We did think that.
I think the thing is, Mike, that when we're reading what the leadership, the very little amount that the leadership has said, we can't figure out what they're doing. It's just gobbledygook. It's a non-denial denial, and we don't know what to do. They're making incredible efforts to keep the Sedona City Council and other people from taking any action until they get their plans complete in a month or so. Secondly, I saw a recent article in the paper, and at the end of it, they basically said, we're not going to answer any more questions you have to the Red Rock News. We don't have anything more to say than we've said. That's it, and you can.
Well, that's the other question. Why can't they complete their plans? This is important, since it's important to thousands of people, and they can't complete their plans? I mean,
I think they want to complete their plans without Sedona's input. What do you think?
Well, I think they do, and I think there's an indirect benefit to the COVID-19 status to them that they can't have large meetings with people. So, you know, most of the time we say have community meetings and listen to what the community has to say. They really can't do that now.
They have cover to not do that.
Exactly.
I mean, to look COVID's at it another way.
No, yeah. COVID's covering
you're
a lot.
You're being very diplomatic, and you should be.
Yes. I think it's very diplomatic, and I think that a whole lot of things, folks, as everyone knows, are happening under the COVID thing. I appreciate the explanation of what a difference between an emergency room and
immediate care.
Immediate care is sort of like urgent care, the private practitioner offices and stuff.
It's a little more than a private practitioner office. Okay. I mean, I send people to the emergency room who appear in my office sick with abdominal pain or sick with pneumonia. They would never be able to take care of those people in immediate care. The people that would staff immediate care are way less experienced than me. So I would then have to send my sick people to Cottonwood, so they'd have to drive another 20 minutes, wait what could be hours to get care.
I'm told that coming into the Sedona emergency room, a lot of the people who are coming in with the worst cases, with strokes and all this kind of stuff, are people who've gotten themselves or their family have gotten them to the emergency room without even an ambulance. They just the guy has a heart attack, and they just get in the car and they drive him to the emergency room and walk him in the door.
Right, exactly. And that would be a big problem if it were an immediate care facility. People would wind up coming to this area and either not be able to get the care because it was closed at 6:30, or they'd wind up seeing a nurse practitioner. And I have nothing against nurse practitioners in general, but for an immediate care facility, I think you need a more experienced person. So I think actually not having the emergency room and having people walk in or drive in would be a detriment, because that can delay therapy longer.
I think you see a lot of that, too. I mean, I think that's really common, that people why drive themselves? Because they're so traumatized by the cost of ambulance care, which is actually kind of, I think, a mistake. If I'm going to give medical advice on the air, call an ambulance, folks. Don't throw Grandpa in the back of the car.
Well, I talked to a physician who thought it was better to throw Grandpa in the car and get there than wait for the emergency guys to come and go. I don't know about that. I don't really know, Mike. Klaus, did you have a question for Dr. Singer?
I did. Why are they so mysterious about the whole thing? Why are they so closed-mouthed?
Well, that's a good question. That's the question that I think I and everyone else are asking. You know, I think they know this decision is going to be big. They know it's going to be very unpopular with almost everyone. And I think, like everyone, they don't want to get attacked, so they're being very secretive about it. I think they're waiting to see how vocal the opposition will be. So that's why I think this is the time to make your positions known. If you don't agree with potentially closing it, we have to write letters, we have to call. This is the time that we have an opportunity to potentially have them change their minds.
Now, understand, folks, that the Sedona City Council has no legal connection to Northern Arizona Healthcare, and they're not contributing money to the they're coordinating certain things. But I think that contacting the Sedona City Council and telling the council members in a nice way, polite way, how important the emergency center would have an impact on them. Jennifer Wessel, who's head of the Chamber of Commerce, is on the board. She's in Sedona. She's the only
on the board of what?
She's only on the board of the hospital, Mike.
Thank you.
She's on the board of the hospital. She's the only Sedona member that I know, and I think you can contact her. And again, don't yell and scream at her, and don't have a lot of conspiracy theories, but get the fact that it's important. She's on the board of directors of the hospital. The other is Randy Garrison. Randy Garrison is our county supervisor, and let Randy know. Randy is really responsive to voters. So let Randy know that how important this is into you. So those are the only two board members that I know who are either represent Sedona or live in Sedona, but there may be others that that I don't know.
I want to echo Steve's comment here. Randy Garrison as Yavapai County Supervisor, and Brandy Bateman as his assistant, who's also running for a supervisor's post in another district, let them know.
And Donna Michaels, who's running against Randy, is another friend of ours.
Very good idea.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Is to let her know. And I think the thing is to ask the candidates for city council what their position on the emergency room. Just write them and ask them. And write Randy and write Donna and write...
Randy.
And ask them what their position is.
My other question was, is the Sedona City Council going to have a position on this issue?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
The hospital, the extraordinarily gobbledygook, Mike, you haven't seen it, of their responses to questions is kind of...
I'm very familiar with...
You read their responses and your head spins around.
I'm very familiar with gobbledygook.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question, Dr. Singer. Are you suggesting that if we collectively scream loud enough, that decision might be reversed or never enacted?
Well, I'm hoping that's the case. In Northern Arizona, healthcare depends, as a nonprofit, they depend on donations from the community. They get a lot of donations from Sedona. I think we need to use our purse strings. You know, let them know that a lot of us are unhappy. If we're unhappy, you know, the next time they're coming to us asking for money for their breast care center or for another pet project of theirs, we may be less likely to donate. I think they need to hear that.
Well, I think the Democratic perspective, and Neil Singer for that matter, has to be careful. We're speaking out in a way it could be characterized that we're speaking against a breast care center, a breast cancer center.
I want to make it very clear. I'm not speaking against the breast care center. They provide a very important service.
The hospital has 40 acres of land.
And with the surgeons and the three radiologists, they're giving excellent care. My patients are getting very good local care. So we're not speaking against them. We're speaking against their owners who are making a financial decision to potentially allow people to die.
Could donors in Sedona get together and say, we're going to donate this amount of money if you keep the emergency care center here? Could there be a special fund? I know this is kind of an economic question. Could there be a special fund where people donated to keep the emergency room here?
Well, they've done that in the past, and it's being done now. So, you know, talk about conspiracy theories. I feel one of the reasons they may have let this cat out of the bag that they were considering closing the ER is they wanted a lot of us to get together and donate money. You know, right now they're asking for money for their cancer center. It would be hard for them at the same time to ask for money for the emergency room. But now that there's a crisis of potentially closing the ER, they're hoping that some of us sort of step up to the plate and give money.
Won't step up, doctor, unless they know the money's going to preserve the emergency room. I mean,
right.
People will contribute to Best Cancer, great cause.
Right.
But a lot of people would only contribute additional money or money if they knew it was going to keep the emergency room here in Sedona, right. If there's some data to organize that.
I did hear something.
How much money are they trying to raise?
You know, again, I don't know, but I did hear something on the down low that there's a group based out of Seven Canyons of very altruistic, wealthy gentlemen who are trying to raise $500,000. So $500,000 was always the number that if they can raise that, but again, it would have to be every year. If the ER loses $2 million a year, $500,000 one time, that would be nice. But that couldn't preserve it.
It is interesting, folks. We really don't have enough information. And in fact, they don't want to give us enough information to be able to evaluate this in any kind of technical, right, economic way.
And one thing that NIH never does is they don't look at the other potential benefits and financial benefits of the emergency room. So again, maybe they lose $2 million a year, but how many people move into the area and buy very expensive houses and start businesses because there is an ER? How much money does that add to the city coffers or alternatively, how much would not be added if there were no emergency room. So it's not only the ER, it's everything else that is attracted to the area because there is an emergency.
Well, yeah, we're talking to Neil Singer, Dr. Neil Singer here about the Sedona emergency room, and that's for certain. I mean, talk to anybody, and you can't swing a dead cat without hitting three real estate agents in and around Sedona, and they will tell you that one of the first...
We're not going to swing a live cat, right, Mike?
Don't swing any cats, but one of the first... set of questions that a potential home buyer asks, what about medical care? And what they usually get from an agent, not a trained medical person, well, we have the Sedona Medical Center, and we have a great emergency room. Everybody speaks highly of it, highly rated, and all of those things. And then we have Cottonwood, higher level care, and we have Flagstaff, yet higher level care. So that's the rap that they get from their real estate person. We got it right here in Sedona, and we have the surrounding area.
I think you're right, Mac. If they're asking a deep driver giving a tour or talking about the natural phenomena, you know, this is such a kind of tree, and asking about the medical emergency center, then it's important to people. They must be talking to the real estate agents in the same
exactly.
way.
It's always been, I mean, since day one. And Sedona planners, fathers, and certainly medical people knew it. They knew that if they put a medical center, they will come. People with money and all the other things. They expect these kinds of services here. And to lose it is going to be, I don't know who's thinking of this. I don't know who's thinking this is. I'm going to use a strong word here, to deny... top-level medical care to a city like Sedona doesn't seem like a good business plan.
I don't know, Mike. I've seen so much of this in my life of somebody in a distant place deciding stuff based on facts, on figures. They're looking as if we're... And I understand that the health center needs help. I mean, we're not talking against the health center. American health care needs more money and more resources across the country, and we're not trying to deny them anything except that they're cutting something or planning to cut something or leading us to believe that they're trying to cut something that's very important to the people of Sedona that makes them safer.
Right. And let me, one of the arguments is that, you know, that there's a very low percent of true emergencies in Sedona, and that is probably the case. But as we've been saying, it's not those emergencies. It's the convenient aspect of Sedona that people care about. People moving into the area, they're thinking that, boy, if I get a kidney stone or rectal bleeding or nose bleeding or something, I would like a place here that can take care of me locally, quickly, where I wouldn't have to wait for hours. So maybe that's not a true emergency, but it's a convenience that people want in Sedona.
But see, people in Sedona mostly were not doctors, and we have one of these things, like suddenly you've never had kidney stones, suddenly you have one. You don't know what's going on. You don't know whether it's an emergency or not. Frightens the hell out of you, and you head to the emergency room.
Right.
Patients can't tell how serious the emergency. You have AFib. You never had it before. Your heart's beating at 120 or whatever. You don't know whether it's an emergency or not.
I totally agree with you, but I'm telling you, the NIH people will say they won't count that as an emergency.
Right. It's not.
I understand.
But that doesn't, I mean, it's still.
I mean, it needs urgent care, but they're going to say that isn't an emergency that could be potentially taken care of by an immediate care, which it cannot be. But that's the issue. I mean, what do they consider?
Yeah.
Medical conditions that are important to be taken care of quickly in Sedona.
Well, this isn't like a creative act here. This is written down. you know, what's an emergency, what's not an emergency is in most cases, Doc, correct me if I'm wrong, is fairly clear. This is life-threatening. This is an emergency. This list of things. And you're saying that, well, gee, Sedona doesn't have enough of those. But to a patient, as you guys are talking about, if I can interpret for a kidney stone, and believe me, having one, it's an emergency. You, I mean, yeah, for most men anyway, or for many men, we've never experienced that level of pain, and it's compared to childbirth, and well, and a good comparison that might be. So the question is, reducing these the services, you still got to ask, you know, whose idea, who thinks this is, so there's not enough level one trauma or whatever you guys, whatever medical people label it. Now, it's 2020. Sedona is, Northern Arizona included, is experiencing growth.
Yes.
Is it going to become, all I can see is it's going to become more. I don't need to be a marketing expert in medicine to know that, okay, you have this maybe underused resource today, but next year, 2 years,
it's also good for visitors. I mean, Sedona has millions of visitors. I tried to find out what percentages they were of visitors to locals, and the truth is the emergency room does both. They don't really keep any kind of tab, at least the physicians and nurses don't, of whether you're a local or whether you're a visitor. But people come up to Sedona and they reach this altitude and they have a heart attack or a stroke. There are all kinds of, I'm told, terrible fractures you can get. They're simple fractures, but there are some that are life-threatening.
Right, and the terrible fractures could not be handled by an immediate care. Absolutely not.
Right. I'm going to compare it to, I lived in and worked at Lake Powell for 4 years. This is quite a while ago, but their hospital did keep track of tourists versus locals because, you know, little town of Page is 6,000 at the time, in between 6,000 and 8,000, and the hospital depended on their tourist, I want to say, trade, but certainly that they needed medical care, and they needed the kind of medical care that they could get on an emergency basis.
So, Dr. Singer, do you have any idea what the timetable is, the expected timetable is for these changes to go through?
Well, from what I'm told, the emergency room personnel were told about a week ago that a decision would be coming in 30 to 60 days. That's what I was told. So that's the urgency to get involved right now. I mean,
well,
we can't wait. Don't wait 2 weeks to write a letter. It could be too late.
And the Northern Arizona Healthcare is trying to keep the city council and everybody else from, or the Chamber of Commerce or anybody, from getting involved now. They're trying to postpone it. They're trying to hide. It's like they're hiding their deck of cards. They don't want to show us their cards until they're ready to deal it. And when they're ready to deal it, it could be too late.
Right? So here it is, on Democratic Perspective, folks. Please follow Dr. Neil Singer's advice to contact NAH now. I'm going to guess that, once again, if I was doing this, I might not take those parties that have a vested interest, like the Chamber of Commerce and like the City Council, as seriously as I would the rank-and-file citizen that has taken their time to let the NAH board people know that they need a fully staffed and functioning emergency center here in Sedona. That to do otherwise is, I don't want to say a breach of trust, but certainly a change too far. So waiting for the City Council, waiting for the Chamber of Commerce, waiting for, I don't know, the Sedona Men's Club, whoever's going to, what's that one, Women's Club, whoever you think is going to fight this battle for you, is probably not going to happen. Or if it's going to happen, it's going to happen in addition. But this is one of those many, many times you've heard from Democratic Perspective where your voice matters, your vote matters more than maybe the a bunch of billionaires sitting around Sedona Roots.
I think folks have to do both. is what I think. I think that you want to work with the elective representatives that you have. City council may have no legal authority over the hospital, but city council represents the people of Sedona. There's somebody to talk to. Let them know what you think. Writing the board, you can go right on the website, folks, and there's a thing, a slot that says About Us, and you go to About Us, and then you can go to the board of directors, and you can also go to another, you can hit another button, and you can go to the administration, and it has a picture of the people on the administration, and you can write some of these people, contact these people, write, and get the information from the website, I think.
And yes. I'll tell you, their email addresses are typically the first name dot the last name at nahealth.com. Flo Spiro.
.com or .org?
.com.
Okay.
So it's flo.spiro@nahealth.com. Most of the board members will have a similar email address.
Right. This is the first time in my life I have not had my phone in my pocket, or else I would be reading out loud the names and the email addresses.
Yeah,
but that's good advice.
I was collecting this morning, Mike, when my computer, after all these years, collapsed on me and won't open up.
So I'm running behind on the data. The key phrase here is after all these years.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not complaining, but I did read the material and I did see that how highly rated the emergency room was. And I do think that to go back to the point that I made, because is that as a patient, you really don't know how serious, if you're in serious amount of pain, you don't know whether you're in a life-threatening emergency, a pain-threatening emergency. You don't know what it is a lot of times. And that's why you need to get, and when your physician, your primary care physician, tells you to go to the emergency room, go to the emergency room.
And there's a value to being seen quickly as opposed to waiting 2 or 3 or 4 hours in Cottonwood. I mean, it would be awful to be having chest pain or palpitations or back pain or bleeding from somewhere and be told this, we have emergencies ahead of you. We'll come and get you. That doesn't happen in Sedona, I mean, fortunately.
No. Oh, and it's not, immediately you get in and somebody's looking at you right away. I have to say it's a great facility that has been very good to relatives of mine, to friends of mine. I can't praise it highly. It's just extremely good. It's be sad to see it go away just because of that.
It really is. It was a little bit unusual because it was so good. I don't want to do unfair comparisons, and I don't want to evaluate by anecdote because I criticize others for evaluating by anecdote. But
give us an anecdote.
An anecdote. 7 hours in the Flagstaff Hospital emergency room for what you might consider a mental health emergency. 7 hours in the ER. In the Cottonwood emergency room, a half a dozen friends come to Sedona if they can get here physically. If a wife or boyfriend can drive them here and not have them writhing in pain, they'll come to Sedona for services because they'll get it much faster than they would in Cottonwood. So it served a regional purpose because of the care in the other two, I'm going to say, facilities that could serve them a little more broadly, but they came to Sedona Medical Center first to get the care that they needed before they went to those places.
So in your years of practice, doctor, the emergency room has been important to your practice. You actually walk patients to it. And can you tell us a little bit about that? Why it's important to your patients and to you?
Well, it's important in two or three ways. One is in the evening when if a patient calls with a true emergency, I mean stroke symptoms or chest pain or bleeding or something, you know, they need to get somewhere right away. And Sedona is convenient, and I know they have very qualified, board-certified physicians doing that. But also during the day, I mean, I have some patients who come in very ill, say with abdominal pain or vomiting or dehydration, where I just can't take care of them. I know they're sick. they need a higher level of care. And I can refer them to the emergency room over here, knowing that it's only 3 minutes away from my office, knowing that I can call the physician here who I probably know and know that I can sort of oversee their care. So that's probably more important during the day for the semi-urgent, semi-emergent patients than at night. Patients would not be happy if they were vomiting and having diarrhea and bleeding if I said, listen, I'm sorry, you need an ER, drive 25 minutes to Cottonwood. That would be, it's an untenable situation.
Well, so folks, if you care about the emergency room in Sedona, and we're in a situation where we've been kept from having information really about what is happening, then I think you have to be proactive right away and let whoever you think is important to know what the situation is. So we're working with the incomplete information, Mike. I've got to admit that the statements have been so strange, non-denial. It's hard to figure out what exactly is happening and when.
We just wanted to at least raise the flag, show some concern. If you find out a different kind of information, well, man, let us know. Contact us here at the station. We asked Dr. Neil Singer to graciously agreed to come in and talk about this with a little more firsthand knowledge. So we feel like we presented you a good case. Now, go forth and deal with it. We want to make sure that you know that this show will, the podcast of this show, the podcast of Democratic Perspective with Dr. Neil Singer, will be posted on our website, vvid.org, Verde Valley Independent Democrats.org. It's right now, it's streaming live on Facebook. You could see my beautiful hat. You could see that Dr. Singer is not nearly as young as he sounds,
and that he's patriotic.
And of course, in your physician, you want him to have a little
and
life.
You can see my hair is getting longer and
you
longer.
You want him
longer
to have a little life on him. And you say, is that the microphone or is that his nose? I don't know. So we do want to make sure that you understand the Democratic Perspective doesn't go away. Where you can find us on Facebook, the Democratic Perspective Facebook page runs this live streaming. It'll be there after we're gone, probably. Mark Zuckerberg doesn't ever clear anything off. So this show will be on there. If you heard anything that you need to replay that you find interesting, then go ahead and check
you-
it out.
If you have, if we get further information, Mike, if we get further
information on it,
we will update you.
Let's ask Dr.
In
Singer.
The next couple of weeks. Yeah, doctor, we have like a minute and a half left.
Will
sum
you come
up your
back?
Entire career.
Will you come back?
I will come back.
Okay, thank you. That's the main question I have. I do want to talk about Democrats at the Red Rock Breakfast this Thursday. It's on environmental issues. Bill Mundell, the Democratic candidate for the Corporation Commission, really an important position with far solar energy is concerned. Donna Michaels, we mentioned her, a candidate for Coconino Supervisor, will be speaking at the door breakfast. And this is Thursday, June 18th at 10 a.m. Thursday, June 18th at 10 a.m. There's going to be additional speakers for DOOR. Democrats of the Red Rocks is a longtime organization and has lots of great speakers.
An issue, though, Mike, just let me add, is that we, our Republican friends, this is really not a partisan
issue. This is not a partisan issue.
Really, our Republican friends really need to get in and stop this. Partisanship is necessary, but there's a level at which it's really not.
Very good
point. We need our Republican independent friends to really get in on this issue.
Yavapai County Dems in Cottonwood, they call themselves Yavapai County Democrats-Cottonwood. They have their meeting Tuesday. I'm not going to go out on a limb here. It may be a virtual meeting. It may not be a virtual meeting. It occurs at the Red Rooster if it's not a virtual meeting. We have both soon. Thank you. We'll call them. Yes. Don't forget, folks, bvid.org. See you next Monday, 8:15 a.m.
listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.